from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sanang with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo meets Aceh Ulama to discuss Islamic boarding school bill. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno says millennial generation is important for state-owned enterprises development. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met with scholars and administrators of Islamic boarding schools in Aceh and delivered an explanation of the draft law on Islamic boarding schools. The president, in the event which took place in Banda Aceh on Friday, said the government continues to push for the completion of the law on Islamic boarding schools because it is a big legal umbrella. The draft law was drafted to achieve the long-term goal of empowering and developing around 28,000 Islamic boarding schools in Indonesia. During the meeting, the president also told about Wasatiyah Islam, All Islamic Middle Way. A total of 105 scholars attended the meeting, including Tengku Muhammad Ismi or Abu Madinah. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno stressed the importance of the role of the millennial generation in the development of current state-owned enterprises, because the state-owned enterprises in the future is in the process of transformation to catch up with the changing times. As reported by Republika Online, Minister Rini in Jakarta Thursday said, parents have an important role in the formation of the millennial generation for the creation of millennial state-owned enterprises. They will try to pursue and balance the way of thinking of the millennial generation. In addition, the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises together with PT Telkom Indonesia Persero TBK held a Spirit of Millennials Games Day 2018 at GI Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta. This festival is part of the Spirit of Millennials program initiated by the Ministry to provide a forum for creativity and innovation for young employees to be formed in each state-owned enterprises to encourage the spirit of state-owned enterprises transformation in facing the changing era. Pollution and environmental damage has posed a threat to oceans and coastal regions having rich biological diversity, unique ecosystems, and genetic resources. Some 80% of marine pollution arose from land activities producing nutrient loadings, wastewater discharge, marine litter, microplastics, and other emerging issues. Environmental Affairs and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya noted in a statement in Jakarta Friday. The minister remarked that the problems were discussed during the 24th Conference of the Parties COP24 on 24 Global Climate Change Action held in Poland on December 4-14, 2018. On November 12, high-level dialogue on the Integrative Global Agenda to Protect the Marine Environment from Land-Based Activities was organized at the Indonesian Pavilion to coincide with the COP24. The high-level dialogue was a follow-up of the 4th Intergovernmental Review Meeting on the implementation of the Global Program of Action for the Protection of the Marine Environment from Land-Based Activities, or IGR4, held in Bali from October 3 to November 1, 2018, that yielded the Bali Declaration. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia must be strong and its economy must grow well so that it would not be bullied or made fun of. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi stated in front of students of the Law Faculty of Pancasila University in Jakarta on Thursday. Marsudi praised the Juanda Declaration, which is commemorated as Nusantara or Archipelago Day on December 13, as a great achievement of Indonesia's diplomacy that people have now enjoyed as a fundamental concept of the declaration that had been put in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea or UNCLOS 1982. To recognize the country as an archipelagic state. She noted that Indonesia has always used the concept of negotiations so far, including dealing with maritime borders with other countries. Quoting other diplomatic achievements, Marsudi referred to Indonesia's peace efforts. She added that the world's trust in Indonesia has been reflected by Indonesia's appointment as a member of the UN Security Council. The Agricultural Quarantine Board, or Barantan, of the Agriculture Ministry is cooperating with the Indonesian military and police in supervising Indonesia's coast prone to attempts of smuggling farm commodities. The board's chief, Banun Harpini, noted in a written statement released on Friday that apart from border checkpoints, the coastal areas of Sumatra, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Nusa Tenggara Islands have become the focus of Barantan's supervision ahead of Christmas and the New Year holidays. He noted the attempt to smuggle farm commodities whose health and security cannot be guaranteed not only poses threat to the entry of animal and plant diseases, but also endangers the health of the people consuming them. In addition, he remarked, the entry of illegal farm commodities may lead to their oversupply in the market at the expense of the local farmers' interest. To date, Barantan has 52 technical operation units at 334 seaports, post offices, airports, and ferry ports across the country to take farm quarantine measures. Of the total 14 technical operation units oversee 51 land border checkpoints and 35 sea border checkpoints. The governments of Indonesia and Finland have collaborated in three main areas since the visit of Finnish President Sauli Niinisto to Indonesia in 2015, namely in the fields of energy, forestry, and education. Finnish Ambassador to Indonesia Jari Sinkari, when conducted a special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently said, the three collaborations were very important cooperation for Indonesia and Finland.
Our cooperation, the strongest on three fields, namely energy cooperation, forestry cooperation, and then education. And there were three MOUs that were signed during the presidential visit. And for example, in the forestry cooperation, that very recently there was a big group of Indonesian specialists who went to Finland, and there was a workshop that was tied with this MOU. And this forestry cooperation has been going on between Finland and Indonesia for several decades already.
Furthermore, Jari Sinkari said Finland, which has the best education system in the world, is conducting an education project in Purwakarta, West Java, specifically for young people. Besides that, according to Jari Sinkari, cooperation between Indonesia and Finland, which this year commemorates its 101st National Day, was also established in other fields, such as in maintaining peace. And the last item, Chairman of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Thomas Lembong, believed that foreign investment inflows will recover after the general elections scheduled for April 17, 2019. On the cycle side, general investment or federal direct investment FDI will recover in 2019, he stated after attending the presentation of World Bank quarterly report in Jakarta on Thursday. He noted investment usually slowed down ahead of general elections as investors await political developments in the country. Afterwards, he added, investment climate will return to normal and investors will again invest in prospective sectors. Earlier, Lembong remarked that FDI in the country dropped to the lowest level in the last 4 years. FDI in the country, which reached $20 billion, is expected to fall to $11 to $13 billion this year. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo meets Aceh Ulema to discuss Islamic boarding school bill. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno says that millennial generation is important for state-owned enterprises development. And listener, that's the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Essential Meaning of Commemoration of Nusantara Day. Every December 13th, Indonesia commemorates Nusantara Day, the Archipelago Day. This commemoration is to commemorate the service of the former Prime Minister Juanda Kartawijaya, who bravely declared on 13 December 1957 that the Indonesian Sea was included in the surrounding sea between and within the Indonesian Archipelago to become a unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Nusantara Day was officially stipulated by the 5th President of Republic of Indonesia, Megawati Soekarnoputri, through Presidential Decree Number 126/2001. The present generation deserves to be grateful because without the Juanda Declaration, Indonesian Sea Treaty only covers the sea 3 miles from the coastline that surrounds the islands in Indonesia. Thus, the amount Indonesian islands, there is a pre-international sea, which separates one island from another, and this means a threat to unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. In addition, without the Juanda Declaration, Indonesia's marine wealth potential is only around 1/3 of its current potential. Chairperson of Indonesian Farmers and Fishermen Movement, Professor Rokmin Danuhari, said that Indonesia has a huge economic potential in marine sector. If the economic potential of the marine sector is managed optimally, this economic potential can reach $1.2 trillion per year and are estimated to be able to employ 40 million people. Based on the theme of the Archipelago Day 2018 commemoration, the realization of whole unity of the Archipelago through the Juanda Declaration, the commemoration of the Nusantara Day is very important for the present generation to unite the feeling of being Indonesian citizens. Considering the threat of national disintegration and separatism is still a threat to unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. In addition, the commemoration of Archipelago Day is very important to remind all components of the Indonesian nation that maritime power is a source of Indonesian nation's strength. Indonesia Sea not only unites, connects islands to islands, but also has a large source of wealth. Indonesia still has to work hard to enhance the economic potential of the marine sector so that it can become a source of people's welfare. Well, listening, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Welcome to Today in History. Now we start from an event about the first expedition to reach geographical point of the South Pole on December 14, 1911. The first expedition to reach geographic point of the South Pole was led by Norwegian explorer Ronald Amundsen. He and four other people arrived at the South Pole point, which was in the middle of the Antarctic, on December 14, 1911. His expedition competed with the British explorer Robert Falcon Scott. Now we turn to another event, which occurred on December 14, 1981. Israel seized Golan Highland. Golan is a plateau in the border regions of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Previously, the area was Syrian territory, but Israel captured the Golan Highland from Syria in 1967 in the Six-Day War. In early Yom Kippur War in 1973, Syria succeeded in taking the plateau back, but the Israeli counterattack succeeded in driving Syria out from most of Golan Highland. In the highlands, there are also hills which during the Arab-Israel War were always disputed, such as Hermon and Booster Hills. These two hills became the observation centers of the Israeli army known as the Eyes of Israel. We end the segment with a historical event on December 14, 1995. Dayton Agreement was signed in Paris. The Dayton Agreement is an agreement to stop the Yugoslavian war that had been going on for the past 3 years, especially for the future of Bosnia-Herzegovina. This agreement was approved at Wright-Patterson Air Base in Dayton, Ohio. The meeting took place from November 1st to November 2nd, 1995. The main participants were Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic, Croatian President Franjo Tuđman, Bosnian President Alija Izetbegovic, Head of United States Negotiator Richard Holbrook, and General Wesley Clark. The agreement was signed in Paris, France, on December 14, 1995. That was today in history.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia featuring a topic, Indonesia-Britain strengthen cooperation in the environment sector. The Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, held a bilateral meeting with two British representatives on the sidelines of the 24th Climate Change Conference in Katowice, Poland. Both are the State Minister of Asia-Pacific Affairs at the British Department of Foreign Affairs and Commonwealth, Mark Field, and Deputy State Minister for the Department of Environment, Food and Rural, Terasi Coffey. Minister Siti Nurbaya on the media Friday, December 7 said, "This bilateral meeting discussed the ongoing cooperation of Indonesia-Britain as well as a commitment to strengthen cooperation in the environment and forestry sectors. Within a period of 2 decades, Indonesia-Britain has established systematic cooperation. The cooperation has been started since the 1990s. Minister Siti Nurbaya revealed various collaborations whose results have significant effect on national targets and fundamental improvements to the governance system, especially in the forestry sector. One of them is in terms of the timber legality system, which also contributes to reducing illegal logging and deforestation, as well as enhancing forest governance, such as the Forest Management Unit Agenda. This year, up to 2022, The total of British assistance for Indonesia is £60 million with bilateral, multilateral and global programs. The recognition of the Indonesian Timber Legality, SVLK, has proven to increase the timber trade of the two countries. England is one of the top 10 export destinations for Indonesian wood products. This year, Indonesia has issued 6,892 V-legal documents for export to Britain, worth $255.23 million. On the occasion, Minister Siti Nurbaya said, the ministers from both countries also agreed to recognize cooperation, especially in terms of cooperation to support the International Tropical Peatland Center, or ITPC. The ITPC base is currently available on two forest research campuses in Bogor, the Research Development and Innovation Agency, and at the Center for International Forestry Research, CIFOR. Minister Siti Nurbaya also invited the two British ministers to conduct field work visit and seeing Indonesia's achievements in implementing climate change. The minister believes that cooperation with Britain will run well since Indonesia and Britain have good teamworks and they respect each other. That was my Indonesia for today.
This is Anya Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met with scholars and administrators of Islamic boarding schools in Aceh and delivered an explanation of the draft law on Islamic boarding schools. President, in the event which took place in Banda Aceh on Friday, said the government continues to push for the completion of the law on Islamic boarding schools because it is a big legal umbrella. Indonesian Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno stressed the importance of the role of the millennial generation in the development of current state-owned enterprises, because the state-owned enterprises in the future is in the process of transformation to catch up with the changing times. Pollution and environmental damage has posed a threat to oceans and coastal regions, having rich biological diversity, unique ecosystems, and genetic resources. Some 80% of marine pollution arose from land activities producing nutrient loadings, wastewater discharge, marine litter, microplastics, and other emerging issues. This was said by Environmental Affairs and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya in a statement in Jakarta on Friday. Indonesia must be strong and its economy must grow well so that it would not be bullied or made fun of, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi stated in front of students of the Law Faculty of Pancasila University in Jakarta on Thursday. The Agricultural Quarantine Board Barantan of the Agriculture Ministry is cooperating with the Indonesian military and police in supervising Indonesia's coast prompt to attempt of smuggling farm commodities. The governments of Indonesia and Finland have collaborated in three main areas since the visit of Finnish President Sauli Niinisto to Indonesia in 2015, namely in the fields of energy, forestry, and education. And the last item, Chairman of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Thomas Lembong, believed that foreign investment inflows will recover after the general election scheduled for April 17, 2019. And listeners, that's News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sounds.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will introduce you to Alif Stone Park. Last month, Alif Stone Park tourism area in Ranai, Natuna Regency, Riau Island Province, changed its status to be the National Geopark Area. followed by the issuance of a certificate from the Indonesian National Geopark Committee at Bongkor Bogor, West Java. Since Natuna included in the Indonesian Geopark range, it will be an added value for local tourism. Besides Natuna, the National Geopark status certificate was also received by Siloke, Sianok Maninjau, Sawalunto in West Sumatra, Bongkor in West Java, Karang Sambung, Karang Bolong in Central Java, Banyuwangi in East Java, and Meratus in South Kalimantan. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will invite you to get to know closer to Alif Stone Park tourist area. Alif Stone Park is a rocky park which is located in the seashore of Sepampang Village, Bunguran Timur District, Natuna Regency, Riau Island Province of Indonesia. In this park, there are more than millions of rocky types that can be found in various shapes and colors. It is called olive because there is a stone which stands straightly like the shape of the olive or Arabic letter among millions of stones at the park area. Previously, the area was only an ordinary place, but since 2008, there was an idea to manage the location from the local government. Entering Alif Stone Tourism Area, you will pass through 1-meter wide rock slips. You can also walk about 10 meters to reach a large stone as an entrance gate. After passing through the entrance gate, you can see the stretch of rocks will appear along the coast. In some large boulders, there are small bridges to make easy for anyone to move from one stone to another one. For those of you who like to take pictures, there are many places that can be used as backgrounds for having good photographs in this place. Alif Stone Park is usually visited during the afternoon. Many tourists come to enjoy the beauty of the sunset with the background of the megalithic rocks scattered in Alif Stone Park. It takes approximately 6 hours from the capital city of Riau Island Province to Alif Stone Park by using sea transportation such as ferries. From Ranai, it takes only 15 minutes by land transportation because the park is located only 10 kilometers from the city. To enter this tourism attraction, you do not need to pay an entrance fee, but you are expected to maintain the cleanliness of Alif Stone Park tourism object. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. I'll see you again in another wonderful and interesting topics.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Miss Lenny. In today's edition, we will present information about ITB discovers giant stegodon tusk in Majalengka, West Java. So stay tuned with us on www.voinews.id. Listeners, the Paleontology Laboratory team of Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, found a fossil in the form of a pair of stegodontars from early Pleistocene, or about 1.5 million years ago. This fossil was found in Majalengka, West Java. This discovery is one of the largest in 2018 in Indonesia by the laboratory team of the Quaternary Paleontology and Geology Working Group, Faculty of Earth Sciences and Technology of ITB. The size of Tas fossil found as a stride length about 3.30 meters, while the arch length is 3.60 meters. This finding is the result of the work of a team led by Professor Jahdi Zaim as a head of the paleontology laboratory. Professor Jahdi Zaim said that stegodontar fossil was obtained by a long process because the removal of the fossil is not easy to do. The fossil location is near the river flow. Besides discovering the stegodon, there are other fossils in the form of ancient crocodiles and plants. There are also other fossils, including the stegodon skull. According to him, this finding is very spectacular for ITB, and this is the biggest ivory finding in 2018 in Indonesia. One of the team's members, Dr. Mika Puspaningrum, explained that viewed from a large size of tusk, this stegodon is male with a height of more than 3 meters. This includes adult stegodon tusk and even it's very old. This can be seen from the tip of the ivory that is worn or flat. This species is probably Trigonocephalus in Java. It could be when the Java island became land. The species eats more leaves and grasses. All the destruction of the stegodon fossil will be taken to Bandung Geology Museum to be restored and reconstructed. That was Miscellany for today with the topic ITB discovers giant stegodontars in Majalengka. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some regional songs in Minang language from West Sumatra. To start our segment, let's listen to Bareh Solok, sung by Eli Kasim. Stay tuned!
Dandang dipanggato ulam pario bunyi kulek cando badendang de di tingkah si sambalado kurang sumpu jalan barampe di singkara singga
makan jopange indah tampak ondahan mamin tua lalu bareh solo bareh lalamo bareh solo nama rasonya Lana barampe di singkara singgah dahulu bareh baru makan copange indah tampak ondeh emang tua lalu bareh solo bareh karamo bareh solo nama rasonya.
That was the first song entitled Bare Solok, sung by Ali Kasim, a legendary singer from West Sumatra. Bare Solok is one of popular songs from West Sumatra. The word bareh in Minang language means rice, while Solok is one of the regions in West Sumatra. Solok is popular as rice producer which has quality and delicacy. The distinction is told by composer of the song, Nuskan Sharif, in the song. The cheerful rhythm of the song enables the listeners to dance. The next song will be Tak Tong Tong, sung by Elva Singers. Listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Tak Tong Tok, performed by Elva Singers. The song is one of popular songs from West Sumatra. The entertaining song of Minang people is sometimes used as accompaniment of regional dance. The song is sung by Elva Singers with more beat tempo from the original version. The collaboration of modern instruments and traditional Minang music instruments makes the song more melodious. The lyrics of the song were written like old poetry, which is entertaining. For the next song, we will listen to a song entitled Tinggallah Kampuang, which tells about the expression of a Minang person that will go wandering somewhere, leaving her hometown. Minang people are well known as people who like to wander to other provinces to strive for better life. The song contains of hope in order to get blessing from their families and relatives that they will leave. Here is Eli Kasim with the song Tinggallah Kampung.
Kandung
listeners, to end our segment, Music Corner, for today's edition, let's listen to the last song entitled Anak Salido, sung by Elsa. Thank you for joining us and see you.
Anak Salido.
Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.